Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from orderly oaths to ocular orbs. And today, we're covering the Yawtiyug.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast Fireball.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will. What is good, my dude?
Life. Life is good for me right now. I'm enjoying it. How's life for you?
Life's great. I'm recording podcasts, which is a joy.
Indeed. Indeed it is. So today we're talking about the Yawtiyug or the Yawtiyug. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, so I'm probably going to bounce back and forth, you know, all episode long. I'm sure I'll get corrected in the comments. Do you know anything about the Yawtiyug?
I don't know anything about the pronunciation. I was kind of surprised to hear the G because of the GH on it. But, you know, we're not historically very good with the pronunciation of several words. Yeah. So,
I mean, I know what you mean, but if I were to try and do the silent, it would be Otia, the Otias, which maybe Otias. It's an Otia. I don't know. I just see OT and UG, and I'm like Yawtiyugs.
Yeah, I do see UG. It's Charlie Brown.
Indeed.
Is in my brain.
I'll tell you what, this creature will definitely make you go UG when you see it. So
yeah,
we have another D&D original on today's episode. The Carrion Crawler's brother from another mother, the Yawtiyug, also known as the Golguthra.
Oh what? Okay.
Now there's
cool. I really like the Carrion Crawler.
Yeah, well, there's no actual relation or connection between the two monsters, save to say that they fill a very, very similar niche in the monster biome of the world of D&D, and they are both D&D originals. So I suppose you could say that if Gygax did invent them both, they would technically be siblings from the same father. Regardless, this malodorous abomination is horrendous to behold, worse to smell, and has an appetite of 3 carrion crawlers put into one. Ultimately, though, they are much less violent and mean-spirited than the Carrion Crawler. That and they are quite a bit more intelligent than the aforementioned Crawler, with the ability to speak and even capabilities of limited telepathy. Despite being smarter than a Crawler, though, they eat trash and poop and anything else disgusting that they can find. These guys are bizarre, and I love it. Before we get more into it, I want you to pull up an image of this Lovecraftian horror as I go over the physical description.
Sure, I will go ahead and jump right on that.
Yeah, because this thing's nasty looking, but it's also, like, I'm going to describe it, and I'm going to do the best I can, but at the same time, like, you really just got to see it. So let me know when you're ready.
You know, I've you know, flipping through the monster manual. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on here. it's built like the, do you want me to give, like, a synopsis of what I'm seeing real quick?
Yeah, sure. Or do you want to? Go for it.
Okay, it's like if the Tarrasque didn't have a normal face, and that you split its face up into like a tentacle. It's got like the Displacer Beast style tentacles on it as well. It's chonky like an elephant or a rhinoceros.
Very much so. Let me give you my description. So, an Yawtiyug is a grotesque bulbous creature with a huge bloated ovoid body covered with rock-like skin that is brownish gray in color, which is then in turn covered with dung. Its body is borne along on 3 sturdy elephantine legs that give them slow ground movement but enable them to pivot quickly. In the center of their mass, Yawtiyugs have a preposterously large and wide mouth lined with rows of long razor-sharp teeth. Its eyes and nose are not set into the creature's face, for this monstrosity has no true face. Instead, its 3 eyes and nostril are set on the leaf-shaped end of a thick vine-like stalk that snakes from the top of its bloated body. This appendage moves quickly from side to side, enabling them to scan a large area. It is also a receiver and transmitter for their telepathic abilities. Two equally long rubbery tentacles ended in spiky thorn-like protrusions also extend for the top of the thing's body. The Otiug uses these to shovel unfathomable amounts of food into its gaping maw, but also to smash and grapple their opponents. A typical Otiug has a body 8 feet in diameter and weighs about 500 pounds.
Jeez, man. What? Yeah, like the image that I'm looking at as you describe that, like really, really brings it home. Yeah, it is so thick. And I was like, you know, when you're looking at the image of it, you don't realize it only has three legs. You think maybe the fourth leg is hidden by its like angled perspective that it's drawn in.
Yeah.
But there really is one big fat leg in the back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I want to know, did you even catch that it has eyes and a nose on it, one of its tentacles?
Yeah, I did. When I was talking about it, it looks like it's leaning forward like the Tarrasque in a lot of images I see of the Tarrasque, like about to destroy a bunch of shit. But yeah, if you like lifted the eyes and nose off of it and put it on a tentacle, it's hard to tell where that tentacle is coming from exactly, but it looks like it's coming from its butt almost, or like its middle back to like have the eyes.
It's described as coming from the top of the head, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, and the art, it's set way back, like past the neck and shoulders, from what I can tell.
I mean, this thing has no neck or shoulders.
No, I suppose it doesn't.
So there is another type of Otiug, besides the common one, the Neo Otiug, which is essentially a bigger, better, more powerful one with better telepathic powers. Some sources cite them as more violent than your average Otiug, but most actually depict them as far smarter and more reasonable and less aggressive.
Is the Neo Otiug born in the 90s?
Born in the 90s.
Like Neo Otiug Soul, from the 1990s. New
wave. Whenever reading up on a monster for the show, I always like to find mythological, folklore, or literary inspirations for them if possible. The Otiug does not seem to have anything official or overly obvious as an inspiration, and I couldn't find any quotes from Guy Gex or anywhere else on the subject. That being said, there was one prevailing theory on the subject. The prevailing theory is that the Otiug is based off of the trash compactor monster in the original Star Wars movie. This is definitely possible. It has the extended eye thing going on. It hides in and eats trash. And the first appearance of the Otiug is exactly 4 months after the release of Star Wars in theaters. And that's awfully coincidental, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm really glad this quote is so fresh in my mind all the time because of we play Super Quest Saga, a sci-fi Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast that you should check out that Will DMs. But but yeah, 3PO shut down the trash compactor on the detention level. It's great.
Indeed.
Yeah, no, it does look like that. It also looks like a bunch of other like D&D-esque kind of pieces assembled together a little bit. You know, like the Displacer Beast style tentacle that I mentioned before. It's like that tentacle with a, you know, kind of eye shape at the end of it, that almondy kind of look with the spikes in it. And then like having your tentacles on eyes, that's like a D&D thing, so you can pivot them. And then this chonky bottom mass, which looks, you know, it more looks like this monster almost looks like the bullet or the boulet or whatever that thing is called, like in its shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's got like, like just in its like form, like a little bit, it's, you know, it's chonky like that. And it's got that aerodynamic,
like it's got a big old mouth in the front.
Yeah. Like just taking elements from other D&D monsters and kind of assembling them into this one. And then the whole thing with Star Wars, that's pretty funny.
When you look at it, like you're like, that's an abomination. It is like an amalgamation of like 10 different animals put together in one. And also like none of them at all.
Yeah, I like that it's the other, like, competitor for the carry-on crawler. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they fill the same niche. They are definitely attracted to similar biomes. The difference being that carry-on crawlers eat dead bodies. Otiugs eat everything. So
nice.
Otiugs are terrifying creatures, but their massive bulk and ungainly three-legged form rule out speed-based attacks. It relies instead on ambush, and its body reeks of that predatory ability. Yotiug lurks in heaps of dung and decay, waiting for something to disturb it. There they bury themselves under mounds of Ophloncaron, leaving only their sensory stalks exposed. Heaps of moldering plants, piles of maggot-ridden bodies, pools of unidentifiable slime, and pits brimming with excrement are favored nesting sites of the beast. With a great splash, Anotiug's other two tentacles, well-muscled and equipped with claws, whip out to smash its startled prey. Even the creature's scent aids it in battle, as disoriented and sickened foes stumble around trying to settle their bellies long enough to unsheath their weapons.
So you can see these outside of, like, if you're in the Underdark and you're, like, you're on the precipice of reaching into, like, a Demon Lord's lair, there's probably all those environmental, like, hazards that come with that territory, like, the fields of mushrooms and, like the slime from, like, maybe a Jewablex sort of, like, area, like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it hiding in that.
Outside of
Abyssal Incursion. We're going to get a little bit more into, like, the specifics of where they dwell later. But yeah, I could definitely see them dwelling in that scenario as well.
Okay.
So, Odiugs make the most of any opportunity to ambush and devour prey, and some of them are more nefarious ones, and some of the more nefarious ones will even go as far as to use their limited form of telepathy to urge sentient creatures towards their lairs by pretending to be something else. For example, a person calling out for help, or a sentient magic item. Since Odiugs lack concern for anything but food, their nests sometimes accumulate a variety of treasures shed from their victims and mixed amongst the junk.
Okay, so I was going to say, these things are not, are definitely not stealthy by any means. So
no.
This telepathy thing is really its big catch, right?
I mean, that's one of its catches for sure. It's definitely unique and never explained. And, like, I would imagine that, like, it's got to have ties to the Far Realm. This creature is very Lovecraftian looking to me. Like, it just looks like something that doesn't belong. And since we're bringing in psychic powers, again, we're talking Far Realm, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the Goth and, like, summoning things from the beyond. Is the Goth, do I have that right? Is that the one that's, like, the pseudo-beholder, kind of?
Yeah, that's the one that they call the Lesser Beholder.
The Lesser Beholder. It's got the same kind of, like, fleshy tones in the artwork. And, like, that, those eyes kind of being separated up on a tentacle is, like, you know, that kind of is like a Far Realm looking, like, I could see why this, you would think this is a creature from that area.
Yeah, absolutely. So, being dwellers of the dark, Otiugs spend most of their time within their lairs. They tolerate bright light only when considerable stores of carrion or garbage lie within reach, tempting the behemoth from its dark place of comfort. In the wilderness, they dwell in stagnant swamps, scum-filled ponds, and damp forest dells. In more civilized areas, the scents of graveyards, city sewers, village middens, and manure-filled animal pens attract them. The solitary creatures prefer to live far from others of their kind, but they don't become territorial unless suitable nesting sites are scarce or fresh prey wanders past. They gather to mate each year for 1 month, with one offspring produced on average. It takes a newborn 4 months to mature and venture out on its own to devour different nasty things in a different nasty place.
This is super interesting, like, from a world-building perspective, to have these creatures. You know, I think we talked about it in the Carrion Crawler episode. Like, if you're not doing well with your waste management, you might, like, accidentally summon something like this into your town.
Yeah, very much so. We did talk about it.
Yeah, like Industrial Revolution, London, and stuff like that. But there's other stuff like what if you have a community of, like, I don't know, some humanoid race that has been, they have to find a new home, right? Like, they're just starting out. Maybe they're not, like, digging their graves deep enough. You know, they've been around for a little while, and maybe a few years go by and they've had some deaths and things like that. So they have a graveyard, and, like, maybe a flood comes through, and when you don't bury your bodies deep enough, like, the bodies raise to the surface in some cases.
Yeah.
And that, like, could spell the end for a newer civilization that might not be ready to take on a creature like this that you could accidentally summon.
Yeah, very, you know, true.
By doing things like that. It's kind of a fun, like, little world-building thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I think the Otiug is a very fitting creature if you're doing, like, an ancient times style. Like there's a bunch of different, like, styles of ancient times fantasy, but if you're doing, like, more, like, barbarian times fantasy, like, I think this thing is a fantastic monster to have your like tribal characters to deal with. It's horrifying and scary.
Oh yeah, that's cool. That is mm-hmm. cool. Like the almost like the frog hemoth in like a swamp setting. This could show up really anywhere.
Yeah, there's an old cartoon or animated movie called Fire and Ice, which is it's very adult, by the way. But it takes place in a fantasy world that's very like barbaric, and like this is one of the things that would have been in the swamp that like the main characters would end up like fighting and stuff. It very much reminds me of that.
Okay, cool.
As I said before, there are two varieties of the Guguthra, the regular Otiug and its larger, more intelligent offshoot, the Neo Otiug. No sources really explain the origin of the Neo Otiug, except that one edition that loves to explain everything, and we love it for that, fourth edition.
So welcome back to the show, fourth edition. We've missed you.
I love fourth edition. It's done so much good shit for this show.
I should shout out to fourth edition more than I should shout out to Demogorgon.
Ooh, careful what you say, man. Careful what you say. Fourth edition. So 4E states that Otiug are prone to strange mutations. Soaked in disease and decay, an Otiug gradually will evolve in appearance to complement its environment. An Otiug living in offal turns a multi-hued brown and its skin grows mottled. The skin of a creature dwelling in a pond scum-covered pool gains a bright green sheen and blisters that mimic the pool's slime bubbles. An Otiug's propensity for mutating makes it particularly susceptible to Far Realm influences. If it eats an aberrant creature's flesh, the pit dweller rapidly morphs into a much larger, more intelligent, and deadlier Neo Otiug. It also gains stronger psychic and telepathic abilities. Now, this is...
Oh my gosh.
That's 4th edition specific. It really doesn't fit in any other edition, but I love it, and it's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's interesting and horrifying at the same time.
It is. 4E was all about... The Shadowfell, the Feywild, and the Far Realm, like explaining and tying into those three things across the board.
Yeah.
All Golguthra have limited telepathic ability. Their form of communication is usually limited to simple feelings and emotions such as hunger, temper conditions, and associated discomforts. Its dislike of bright lights and imminent death for its prey. Though it's said that Otiugs and Neo-Otiugs have a language, much of which is nonverbal, movements of eye stalk and tentacles or emissions of certain smells, only they can understand the speech between each other.
It's intelligent, like body language, like dog tail wagging and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess so. Paired with telepathy, yeah. Intelligent societies can sometimes coexist with Otiugs, which they regard as convenient garbage disposals. They dump their refuse in the lair of the Otiug, which generally refrains from attacking them in exchange for the feedings. With such plentiful sustenance, Otiugs grow fat in their wallows, unmoved by any other drive or desire. Not even the desire to mate stirs one from its putrid stew. This sedentary gluttony can make them reliable guardians, They are ideal pets for keeping interlopers from poorly guarded sewers, middens, dungeons, cesspools, oubliettes, and even a moat. As long as it is fed, an Otiug refrains from attacking its benefactor. However, would-be Otiug masters can easily underestimate the quantity of waste, carrion, and meat necessary to keep an Otiug from wandering off in search of food. And more than one trained Otiug has eaten its keeper after devouring all the waste in its wallow.
So you could really scale the... like size of an Otiug based off of like the lore that surrounds it. Like
yeah,
if you wanted to make one that was especially big and like homebrew it with some buffs for con and stuff like that, you could.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is actually a stat block for the Neo Otiug, which is the bigger, badder one. But it's kind of behind a paywall. It's, you can only get it in the Dragon Plus magazines. And I'm pretty sure you got to pay for those. But it does exist. It's out there, guys. If you want it, it's a bigger, badder Otiug. Otiug also make deals with fellow intelligent monster dungeon denizens, agreeing to team up in exchange for their dung and body waste, which they then devour.
Okay. Hey, can I just like follow you around? Is that cool?
Well, it's more like, you know, if an Otiug and I don't know, what's another dungeon monster that's like gross enough to team up with this thing.
Well, okay. I'm thinking about the purple worm. So, like, the purple worm is just like burrowing and digging, it's just going to shit in like its path, right?
Yeah, well, sure. A purple worm's going to eat an Otiug. No, this is, I'm talking about Otiugs making deals with fellow intelligent monsters.
Yeah,
so
you are.
Like, let's team
sorry,
up.
I was like,
go ahead.
So I can eat your shit.
Yeah, so I can eat your shit and I'll do whatever you want. So motivated. Motivated to
well,
keep
like, okay, we don't ever talk about it. Like, beholders are beholders. Do beholders shit? Like, do they eat? You know?
No, like, I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Their energy is all magical, especially
they're
the
perfect
god.
Beings. Nothing needs to go in nor come out.
Well, like, okay, so the goth does eat. The goth eats magic items.
Yeah,
so
but that's only to sustain itself in... Remember, if it doesn't, it goes back to its dimension.
Maybe, because they don't have buttholes, right? So maybe, like, they kind of have to vomit... they have to vomit up, like some sort of exhaust or, like, you know, like coal, I guess, I'm thinking of, like, residual effects of eating magic items. They have to, like, vomit up.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
You clean up my house. You clean up my house, and you get to eat all my shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, motivated to keep the supply of the waste coming, they will agree to help defend their new ally's home against trespassers, which includes many adventurers, naturally. This deal is only as strong as an Otiug is well-fed, though, since Otiugs may be persuaded not to attack the invading creatures in exchange for the promise of friendship and food.
cool.
So, if you're not feeding your Otiug enough...
On its mind.
Yeah, if you're not feeding it enough, and some invaders come in, and they're like, yo, we'll feed you a lot... Well, guess what? The Otiug just switched sides.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. So maybe like a goblin, like goblins might be a good
candidate. There we
candidate
go. Goblins are a good candidate. That's exactly right.
Oh, they have a pet Otiug that it's not really their pet. It's just sort of their symbiotic homie.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So Neo
Otiug. Oh, that's a good way to usurp the deal it has. Like if you're the adventuring party coming into the goblin community, you could be like, hey, I could kill way more people. Like I could kill all these goblins and let those rot. You know, are you down?
Yeah, if you could convince the Otiug, you might go for it. But then again, if the Otiug's really happy, then it doesn't want you to kill the goblins because it's really happy.
Yeah, totally. I can see why this would be. That's a cool campaign little point there. Mm-hmm. You know, make the party kind of decide what they got to do.
Indeed.
If negotiating with the Otiug seems hard, though, because does it speak languages?
It can understand languages and has limited telepathy. I believe it can actually speak with its giant mouth, too. Yeah, this thing's weird. Like, it's smart enough. It's not like, I think it's got a 6 or 7 intelligence, but it's smart enough to, like, be a person.
Yeah, it's got a 6.
Yeah.
So it's like a feed me Seymour kind of situation here. I see.
Yeah. So it's smarter All right. than a lot of like the animals we talk about, which are usually 2s and 3s.
Yeah.
So Neo Otiugs are generally less trusting and more vicious in nature and usually attack living creatures on sight. But they can also form more complicated and dangerous partnerships with allies than their lesser brethren, bargaining for services for payment and food that they consider to be delicacies. Unlike the Carrion Crawler, Otiugs are so utterly disgusting that no alchemist or wizard would want to touch their components, so the corpses of the Golgunthra have no use or value on the market.
Yeah, there's always like this underlying, like, when you know, popular thing to say after a combat is, I loot the bodies, right? Like,
yes.
So in this case, you're not really going to get much from
No.
that.
As a matter of fact, you probably don't even want to get near the body. It smells so bad.
That's interesting because don't psychic creatures usually have something to offer in terms of loot? Like,
yeah, except for this shit's just so nasty, no one wants to deal with it.
Yeah, it just stinks so bad.
Yeah,
no one cares.
Yeah, it's too nasty. It's covered in shit, and no one wants it.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
So any questions about the OTUG before you tell us about the stat block?
No, I think that pretty thoroughly covers it. I do want to know what this thing's physical capabilities are, since it seems like we've been talking a lot about it eats and it, I'm more concerned about how the pivoting thing is cool. So it's mainly just using its front legs. Like, how does this thing walk? It's a fucking flesh tricycle.
Very, very slowly. It is a flesh tricycle. It is. Well, tell us all about it. Let's get into the stat block.
Okay. So the OTUG is a large aberration. It's neutral. So like if it's being fed, like you said, it's happy and it's good to go. It's got a 14 AC of natural armor. Its hit points are a robust 114 or 12d10 plus 48. Its speed is 30 feet, which I guess it's really not struggling. So I was thinking like you might have to drag that back leg around. It seems like it's just sort of like bringing it in under the center of its body and kind of propelling itself and lifting the front two legs up.
I'm very surprised it has a speed of 40 feet, considering its lore talks about how slow it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, within the 6 seconds it takes to move the 30 feet, I mean, like, maybe this thing should have a contingency on it. Like, it's not capable of dashing. It's like, how
could it? Yeah, I like that.
We got a strength of 16, a dex of 11, which pretty much tracks. I guess it's a flat zero for dex. Okay. I think it's more mobile than like the lore is kind of leading on here, which indeed just doesn't kind of make sense. Maybe for saving throws, it can just like do a backflip or something. I don't know. Constitution is 19. Boom. Intelligence 6, wisdom 13, and charisma 6. So when you're negotiating with it, it's going to be pretty one-track minded, it seems.
Yes, definitely.
Saving throws, it has a plus 7 to con. That's all it's got. So, you know, maybe that is telling of like if you're going to hit it with
something. I'm surprised the constitution isn't that impressive. Or is this a saving throw or the actual stat?
Well, the constitution is 19. The saving throw is a plus 7.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah. So dark sense, senses, it's going to have dark vision at 120 feet with a passive perception of 11. It does speak the language OTUG.
Right.
So yeah, they speak their little psychic language together, and their nasty body language that probably looks fucking suspect. It's a challenge rating of 5, and its proficiency bonus is plus 3. So the feature we have here is limited telepathy. The OTUG can magically transmit simple messages and images to any creature within 120 feet of it that can understand a language. So if you suddenly are seeing pieces of human feces in your brain and it really wasn't on your mind, you might be being spoken to by an OTUG. This form of telepathy doesn't allow the receiving creature to telepathically respond, much like the message cantrip would. Actions, we have multi-attack. So the OTUG is going to make 3 attacks, one with its bite and two with its tentacles, which makes sense.
Very much so.
Let's see. The bite is going to be a melee weapon attack with +6 to hit, reach of 5 feet on one target. It's going to do 12 or 2d8 +3 piercing damage. If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw against disease or become poisoned until the disease is cured,
oh boy,
which is always troublesome. Every 24 hours that elapse, the target must repeat the saving throw, reducing its hit point maximum by 5 or 1d10 on a failure. The disease is cured on a success. The target dies if the disease reduces its hit point maximum to 0. This reduction to the target's hit point maximum lasts until the disease is cured. So that might be very detrimental towards the end of a fight if you're having to fight off this poison, when your HP is already kind of getting low.
Right. Now, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the... When it comes to disease, are they making a saving throw every turn or every day?
It's for every 24 hours that elapse, the target must repeat the saving throw. So yeah,
gotcha.
Every day. I think I was saying stuff as if it was every turn, but yeah, every day.
Yeah, because with disease, it's more like a long term thing.
Right. Yeah. So that could be troublesome. Tentacle melee weapon attack +6 to hit. With a reach of 10 feet on one target. That's going to do 7 or 1d8 +3 bludgeoning damage plus 4 or 1d8 piercing damage. If the target is medium or smaller, it is grappled with an escape DC of 13 and restrained until the grapple ends. The OTUG has two tentacles, each of which can grapple one target. And then the final attack here is the tentacle slam. The OTUG slams a creature... slams creatures grappled by it into each other or another solid surface. Each creature must succeed on a DC 14 constitution saving throw or take 10 or 2d6 +3 bludgeoning damage and be stunned until the end of the OTUG's next turn. On a successful save, the target takes half of the bludgeoning damage and isn't stunned. But this is doing a lot of status effect stuff.
I mean, it
makes
a big stink
monster. Much more formidable.
It does. It's definitely like a big boss fight for like low level characters. Like 5 level 3 characters would probably have a tough time with this guy.
Yeah, challenge rating 5. I definitely can see that happening, especially if it's like, grappling, restraining, and then stunning people. That's you're gonna be giving up the ghost pretty quick if you don't cure these status effects, pretty early on. Mitigating range towards this creature is going to be important, and like being able to fend off the save at a crucial time could be a factor here with the poison. This stat block is some of the stat blocks we read don't really reflect the creature in terms of lore all the time.
Yeah,
this one seems pretty straight on. This one seems pretty right on the mark.
Yeah, with the exception of its speed, yes, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, except like, why the fuck is it so fast?
The OTUG's been training since 4th edition. It's got its speed and endurance up.
Yeah, maybe if it really needs to, it can use its tentacles to like kind of help scoot it along.
Yeah, maybe. I can see that.
Yeah, otherwise it's a pretty horrifying piece of equipment that we've got here on
indeed,
our hands. Well, a nasty monster that you can't even harvest. Can't even harvest its teeth or flesh or whatever. Eyeballs.
It's just a big mean thing in your way that you're gonna get no benefits from killing.
Yeah, and it's gonna want to eat your poop. So be careful with that.
Definitely gonna want to eat your poop. So any questions about the OTUG before we get ready for our long rest?
No.
All right. Then let's do that.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest, where we think of horrifying things to put on this custom beholder we make at the end of every episode that is not beholder-based. And today's inspiration will be drawn from the OTUG, or OTU. We can't decide how to say it. Will, will you please lead us with the beam for this week?
So I think the beam for this one's pretty obvious. We're gonna do a stink beam. They say that the OTUG has an element of surprise when it reveals itself because it smells so bad. It causes foes to drop their weapons and reel back. I'm picturing a real nasty smell beam coming out of one of its eyes that has this exact same effect where they have to make a saving throw to not drop their weapon and to not be stunned to turn.
That's really cool. And we did some debate about the feature here, but we ended up going with this the central eye that the beholder normally has. You know, it's fixed inside of this spherical shape. We're going to actually extend that eyeball out and take inspiration from the third tentacle that serves this as this thing's eyes and nose. So pretty much what I'm thinking of, like the stalk of a mushroom. So, or like kind of inspired by the legs of the OTU for the, like the little extension on the eyeball here. That's going to come to this like, you know, ovular or like almond shape that these tentacles have at the end of it. And it's going to have those three eyeballs instead of the one, for its central eye.
So its central eye no longer exists. Instead, in its place, there's a giant stalk that comes up and has the same three eyes of the OTUG, right?
Yeah, and these little, like, it's a little subtle in the art, but it has, like, these frills on it on the backside, or, like, little spines. Almost look like eyelashes a little bit here, but, like, I picture that kind of, like, here and there up the stalk and around the orifices that serve for the eye. Eyes here. So yeah, that's the physical feature we're gonna get. We're gonna extend that central eye out and turn it into three eyes.
Indeed. How many features are we at now? Because I feel like we're about to be done with this thing, aren't we?
Let me look at the schedule here. Because we didn't do our recap. The recap is gonna be. Let me see. How many do we have here? Today will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6. We're at 7, my man. So the next recording session we have, we're going to finish this thing because we do usually 3 at once.
Yeah, we're going to finish this guy. We're going to have a name for it. Dang, dude, only 7. And look at what it looks like already. It is terrifying. Holy shit.
Yeah, currently we're going to go with Reyes Romano for the name.
Yeah, that's the
tickles
the
me so much. Because I think I did Ray Romano jokes on like almost every Beholder episode we did in this stretch. For this custom beholder.
It's true.
So yeah, yes. I think it could be a fitting name. If somebody has a better name, I'm open to it. But one of these beholders is gonna be named Reyes Romano.
I like it.
So we're good. Our beholder's looking pretty fucking scary. And
indeed.
And I'm excited about it. Thank you. If you want to see drawings, we post them, but if you want to see the Hobbleman is drawing these beholders for us as we make it. So if you want to see old Cruel Eyes, that is drawn and completed and does exist in our Discord, which there is a link for below. Thank you to, we haven't done this in a while, but thank you to everybody in our Discord for being a participant and helping the community grow for the show. We really appreciate you, and especially to all the administrators and moderators of the Discord. Thank you guys so much for doing what you do. We appreciate you guys to no end, and the community that you are striving to make there. It's really come it's come a long way, and it's been great and wonderful to see, and I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you guys are awesome, and we can't thank you enough.
So yeah, the contest is over.
It is. It's over. Someone won. We don't know who, because we are recording this on, what is it, May 1st? And May 18th is the day that we announced the winner. And I believe this episode is airing on May 24th or May 23rd. So as soon as we know who it is in the real life, in the real time, we will announce it on the show. But whoever has won has already been announced. And we've announced it on our social media by this time already. So if you guys want to see who won, check out our Instagram and our Twitter. Anything else you want to add to that, Brian?
No, I just want to say congratulations to the winner. Thank you guys so much for spreading the word about the Dungeon Cast. That's the whole point of putting the contest on. And we do see some growth every time we do it. So, we'll try to continue to do something like that. We know that people are into it, and it does help us out. So in the meantime, please leave us an iTunes review if you can. That would be super helpful. Or leave a YouTube comment, like and subscribe. That sort of thing also helps us a ton. Check out Super Quest Saga, which we've mentioned here. Was that this episode or last episode? But either way, it's a 5e actual play game. It's a sci-fi adventure that Will DMs. It's a great show. We do a lot of work on it. There's a lot of like post-production sound and stuff that goes into that. So yeah, definitely check that out. And check out our Patreon if you want to see some extra bonus content, like more actual play stuff, comedy games, the Dungeon Chats. It's like a... an occasional podcast Will and I do on there where we just kind of talk about whatever. We're going to be doing another one of those pretty soon. Episode notes, OST for Super Quest Saga and any other project we do. And just like a lot of stuff, exclusive merch. There's a lot of stuff on there. Please go check it out. If you're already on Patreon, please make sure you're listening to the bonus content and let us know what you think of it. Otherwise, I don't think I have anything else. Is there anything else pertinent or pending that we need to address or talk about, Will?
At this time, I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah, so I think we can call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.